Take a breath. Well, if you have looked at your bulletin, you've seen that our talk today is called Come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Don't be scared. Don't be scared. So I was thinking about where this idea came from. And how many of you are aware that we are in the midst of a pledge drive here at Unity of New York? Oh, look, there's enough of you that didn't raise your hand that I can tell you about it. This really, that's not really what this is about, but it's what sparked it. Because so many of those people that we just honored, these volunteers, particularly our board of trustees, have been working and working and working on keeping us going, keeping us running. And so we gathered a lot of information, did a lot of research, put a lot of time in, and created this wonderful pledge drive. And there was an email that went out. Hey, Joanne. Hey, from Joanne. She's our finance director. And there might have been a little subtextual stress in the email. Tiny bit. Where she said, we need to come to Jesus. I said, well, let's do that. Now, what does that mean? Does anybody know what that means? I have such a fun time looking up words and looking up sayings, and I found something really fun here. It's 'cause you know, when in doubt, Google. You'll find out all kinds of things. So I've heard this expression, come to Jesus, used in the southern U.S. to mean something like, to give or receive a serious scolding that will cause you or the people you supervise to recommit themselves to following orders and doing the right thing. You better work, Joanne. So in this person's opinion, it is a Southern expression. I believe it refers to a common practice in evangelical Protestant church services. At the end of very passionate and emotional sermons, the preacher asks people to come forward to the front. In other words, come to Jesus. So everyone do that now. Hello. Okay, be there. The idea is that you make a public vocal reaffirmation of your faith in response to the emotionally moving sermon and public prayers that you have just heard. The preacher will directly encourage people to come forward if they are troubled, or if they feel troubled, if they have been sinning, or if they've never come forward before, etc. So just as a personal aside, this person grew up in the Deep South, mostly in a small town, but his family wasn't Southern or very religious. The first time I witnessed a service like this, I was about 8 years old, and it shocked me profoundly. There were people weeping and shouting and waving their hands in the air. They were falling out. They were making public displays of emotion, for Pete's sake. And we all know that just isn't something that is done. I was embarrassed for them and deeply confused as to why people did this in church. Why would they do this? Why would people feel anything? Answer me. The come-to-Jesus practice isn't universally appreciated in the South, however. I had a colleague, also Southern and religious and Protestant, but educated and middle class, who called this an undignified practice and said it amounted to a go-Jesus pep rally. I take no stance on it because I don't know enough about religion to make judgments, but I can tell you that it was an odd thing to witness. Now, pretty much come-to-Jesus, wherever the origin really came from, and there's a belief that it happened many years ago in the historical context, during the revival meetings of the Second Great Awakening. I know, Lord, come to Jesus. And that was the origin of it. And it's also considered to be a meeting in which a group discusses their flaws. Nobody can interrupt one another. And they can't put words in somebody else's mouth. For instance, she doesn't like me. Can't do that. Now, when I hear someone refer to a come-to-Jesus encounter talk experience, they're usually referring to a moment of truth that is difficult and harrowing for all who experience it. Forbes magazine recently said, "Come to Jesus is the most annoying business expression on earth." I am so sorry. And what they did this thing in honor of the upcoming NCAA basketball tournament, March Madness. How many of you know about March Madness? Okay. More than I thought. Yay. So in honor of the tournament, and in disdain for all business jargon, buzzwords, cliches, euphemisms, grammatical catastrophes, Forbes recently hosted its second annual Jargon Madness competition. It's a tourney-style bracket that featured 32 of America's corporate most insufferable expressions, and readers voted for the worst of the bunch. And Come to Jesus won. The last thing I want to say about this is that it's a bit of slang or an idiom basically that means a moment when one has to face the facts or come to terms with reality, generally a reality that one has been avoiding. Like realizing that you've maxed out all your credit cards and you can't keep spending. Has anyone ever done that? Don't raise your hand. The obvious metaphor in it is to get religion in the rather colloquial than literal sense, to realize the error of one's ways. So here we are, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. And we had a wonderful come to Jesus meeting with the leadership. And we were talking about what we were going to do, how we were going to continue, because the pledges weren't coming in as we had hoped. And, you know, if you've been around, you've heard a good bit about it. Talked a couple of weeks ago about it. And the best analogy I can say about our pledge drive is it's what's going to allow us to plan, to know what we can count on to come in. It's kind of like how many shifts will I get this week, and how good will my tips be on the shifts that I'm working. It's that living week-to-week thing. That is not fun in New York City. Is anybody doing the week-to-week living in New York? Yeah, it can be a little stressful. Thank God we have unity to remind us of the truth. And we're about halfway there to our goal right now. But here we are. And I'm so grateful at, last Sunday, 160 people, 160 of you had pledged to your community. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. So we're knowing the truth. God's got this. God is in charge. And this amazing community and ministry is going to be around for generations to come to serve the planet. Because again, if you've been watching anything in the outer, in the world right now, especially in our country, we need this. We need to be spreading this. People need to know. People need to know that peace can happen. People can come together. People can join together. And Kathy, I think that you were going to talk a little bit about this or something like it. Yeah?
Yes, I am.
Good segue?
So speaking of come to Jesus, so in unity we look at things a little differently. So let's get into metaphysics, right? Let's get beyond the literal. Let's get beyond what Britt shared with us and look at coming. So in unity, according to Elizabeth Sand Turner, she wrote some fabulous metaphysical interpretations of scripture. And what she talks about is coming as a turn in mind and heart to the ways of spirit. That's what we do here. Yes, we have this human experience. We live in a material world, so to speak, and there are things that we require to live in this world. However, scripture also reminds us that we are to first seek the kingdom of God. In other words, first seek to understand spiritually what we're all about and what this life is all about. Coming to Jesus in unity terms, in new thought, is a return to our true selves. It's an inner experience. It's a return to the truth of what we are. Imelda Shanklin, unity minister and writer, back in 1929, wrote a book called What Are You? She asked that question, what are you? And she answered it. She said, you are a soul that has forgotten its divinity. A soul now struggling to remember in the midst of time and the confusions of our earthly experiences. We forget that we are the living sons and daughters or creations of the living God. That's what we are, spiritual beings, having this temporary human experience. And so we look to Jesus a little differently than perhaps our traditional Christian brothers and sisters look. We see Jesus as our guide, our master teacher, the rabbi that he was when he walked the earth. This great teacher showed us the way to embrace righteousness. Eric Butterworth says righteousness is the right use of our powers, our faculties. So we're in the third month of looking at the 12 powers, our 12 faculties, our 12 abilities. It's just a way to look at us in ways that perhaps we understand in our minds. 12 different strengths that we have that we can work on. And we look to Jesus and have a come to Jesus moment when we say, yes, I'm going to embrace the development spiritually of these faculties. We come to Jesus following his examples, not needing to fall down and worship, as it were, because in scripture he says, don't worship me. I'm giving thanks to my creator. Join me in thanking this way. Join me in embracing the divinity that you already are. Know that we are all works in progress. Jesus took right action. How? By coming into full agreement, full alignment in mind, body, and spirit with his truth, with a capital T. That's coming to Jesus. So as a community, glasses, let's have a come to Jesus moment, amen, so that we can heal on every level. Can we just take a moment and imagine what we can do as a focused community on a mission to be a force for good in our community, in our city, in our state, in our nation, and in our world? We have to claim ownership of our truth, ownership of our ministry, each in our own individualized way. We have to get real, gotta get real, not by ourselves, but with ourselves and with each other. Remember that saying, you know, we are only as strong as the weakest link? No? Okay, but anyway. There is a saying. Yeah, we are only as strong as our weakest link. So, where perhaps individually have I, because I take ownership, maybe you, I can't speak for you, have been thinking weakness. Weakness in any area of our lives. And what we do here is pray, commune, engage in a relationship with our higher power. We're not praying to a God out there to make it all right. We are communing, going within, praying from the divinity that we are. Praying from the oneness that we know we are. During this Lenten season, what we're doing is perhaps invoking our power to fast from, okay, not chocolate necessarily, but fast from negative thinking, fast from negative speech, taking right action, fast from what no longer serves us and releasing what no longer serves us. So I encourage all of us to let's be about the business of love and gratitude and how we live following the pattern of the master teacher and way shower. How we live and giving. How we live in our giving. Whatever we're giving to ourselves, in our community, throughout our world. And remember that our giving in an attitude of gratitude blesses whatever it is we're giving, and bathing it in love has a unifying, attracting effect. There's a saying in the unity movement that says, I give in love because I love to give. I give in love because I love to give. So whatever we're tithing at any given moment, right? Giving of our time, talent, and treasure. We give it knowing that as we give, we can also be a joyful receiver. Because giving and receiving, we heard it earlier. We said it earlier that we are worthy. We cannot outgive spirit. I'm so glad that I learned in unity that it is important to know that coming to Jesus doesn't mean I have to face a guilt trip. Oh, he died for me, hung on a cross, forgive my sins. No, it's coming into alignment with our truth and knowing because as a human, he walked the earth and came in full alignment with his oneness and said, I did it, and so can you, and you, and you, and us. We can do that. We can come together in community and know and live our truth and give and receive in gratitude and love. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
So sometimes we hear as part of the leadership or ministerial committee that we don't really bring a lot of Bible in. But that's not true, because everything we do is based on that, because we are using our brother Jesus' teachings as our guide. Among the many other teachers that we have, the Buddha, Muhammad, and some that have come in the last centuries. But I like the Bible, and I love this verse, and I want to share it with you. And it's from Matthew 13:12 that says, whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have abundance. Now, this scripture used to be really confusing to me, not because of the way it starts. I really like the way it starts. Whoever has to him, more shall be given, and he will have abundance. That sounds pretty much like a good deal for me. How about you? Yeah, right? But the entire verse, if we take it out of context, that's what it says. But the entire verse is much more peculiar. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. Now, if the choir were here, they would be shaking in their boots and saying, oh no, oh no. But I'm saying that also, because I never did understand that entire verse for a long time. The verse starts off with this good news that God's going to give those who have even more enough. And people, you know, start waving handkerchiefs and going, yeah, amen, amen, amen. But then Jesus gives us one of his famous out of left field points and goes up with this line, whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken away from us. Ouch. Ouch.
Don't be scared.
The party's over, And someone in the back row is probably shaking their head and thinking to themselves, this is not cool, this whole discussion. Not cool at all. It's almost like you're stealing me from my lesson today. But this that we're sharing with you is the lesson of today. These are our unity principles in practice. We call unity a practical spirituality for positive living. Practical meanings, we practice it. So everyone that's on this platform comes from the unity principles and is living them to the best of their abilities. They might not talk about them as 1 to 5, but they are exhibiting it in their lives. So why is Jesus going to take away from the guy who doesn't have anything? It's almost stealing shoes from a homeless person, right? Well, you kind of figure that anybody, even us, if we don't have, why is more going to be taken away from us? And it's pretty cold, I think. But not if you read the entire verse in context. Jesus isn't talking about money and possessions. He really isn't. He has just finished, before this verse, teaching the parable about the talents. How many of us remember the parable of the talents and about sowing the field? These were the two parables right before that. So then again, taken out of context, it means nothing to us. And a lot of people assume that he is still teaching about finances, but that's not necessarily the truth. And all of the Gospels, in Luke, John, and in Paul, this saying from Matthew 13:12 that I just recited is in each one of them. So I attribute it to be true. So let's back up and read a little bit more from Matthew 9-11, a couple of verses before that. And it says, he who has ears, let him hear. And this disciple came and said to Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall have more, and he will have in abundance. But whoever does not have, whatever he has shall be taken away. And then this follows up right after it, after verses 12 and 13. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but not perceiving. For this person's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see and hear and understand with their hearts, and in turn, I will hear them. When his disciples followed up with asking him why he was teaching everyone to use stories and analogies, and we do that up here a lot when we come back with 21st century puns to use and whatnot, Jesus told them that they had been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but not everyone else. Whenever someone is willing to listen, what is God telling us? We learn a lot of things that come out from this platform, but whoever's standing on this platform or sitting, like myself, has been there. I remember 12 years ago coming into the Unity on 29th Street, and I said, wow. And I've stayed here ever since. And my journey, as many of you know, has taken a long time to get to be seated here as a licensed Unity teacher and as an ordained minister. Because when God was speaking to me, and I heard it, I was willing to receive, understand that any of the knowledge that was offered to me, I wanted to know more and to be wise because I want to use it. So some people are willing to listen. They have an ear to hear, and some people do not. But whenever someone is speaking and is willing to listen to what God is whenever someone is willing to listen to what God is speaking, they will receive understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. I haven't perfected it yet, but I'm trying. And I want to assume that we all are here because we want to do the same thing. That's why in the second half of the verse, it doesn't mean that Jesus is stealing shoes from a homeless person. Whoever does not have, it shall be taken away from him. But when we close our ears to the voice and guidance of God, we slowly lose our ability to understand him at all and what Jesus has prepared for us as the way. The Bible is, in the New Testament, particularly called the way. So here's the question for today. Are we listening? Are we really listening? Perhaps more importantly, are we listening to the words behind the words that we hear up here, to what God is trying to communicate to us? Excuse me. And part of the thing about that, in my own journey, when we talk about all this tied up as in three, is that when we give, we actually are receiving. When you are generous to somebody, doesn't it feel good? Oh, yeah. We automatically feel that rush that we have done something really good. We are spirit on this plane. And that means that we have all of the divine inheritances that we know Jesus accomplished that came from the Father. And as a child of that mother, father, God, that means we can do the things that he said and do it better. So that means when we talk about source, as God being the source, it's not out there. The source is in here. We are the source. Are we aware of that? We come here and say that. Good, I'm glad. And maybe you're putting your feet to your words, but this is where this little thing is going, this little lesson. You're self-aware, but how many are not self-aware who are sitting here, that come in here every Sunday, just presuming that the doors will be open, okay, take their seat, take their bulletin, chat with people around them that they've been seeing for the last few years, and there's many of us who are new in here, and I know who you are, okay, because I go out intentionally to make sure that I know whom you are. But are you aware? But you look back here, the new people. You must be hearing something that brings you back. So you are self-aware. But we who have been coming here for a while and become really, you know, lackadaisical about what we're going to get, we're trying to get as much as we can for as little as we can give. And that's the blunt statement of it. And when we do that, we're cheating ourselves. We truly are. Because Unity of New York is not dead. It is a living organism made up of each one of us. Each one of us. And when the come to Jesus talk that Joanne, come to Jesus phrase came out in that email, that showed a lack on Unity of New York's part. And that means we're not practicing as a leadership team. The board is not practicing that. And we said, no, that's not true. No, there is no lack. We are going to survive. But somewhere in here, some of us, including myself, have what I call at once in a time a lack attack. Who had a lack attack this week? Come on. Be honest. We all do. We all do. But I forgot that I am source. That means I have everything I want if I want it well enough. And am I really showing it? Source is not out there. So if I want something, go within and listen. Like the phrase said, listen to the God within. And then take action, making a choice about changing our consciousness, because that's why we're here. We're going to live in Unity of New York by our vision and mission statement. We are not here to save souls. And our mission statement, vision, which is going to be revised soon, is Unity of New York is a joyful and dynamic ministry created to celebrate the realization of our oneness with God and with each other. This loving and nurturing community is committed to expanding individual and universal awareness of wholeness, abundance, creative expression, as taught and as demonstrated by our brother and teacher, Jesus the Christ. That's why we're here.
And it's right there on your bulletin.
And how many of us have never read it? Okay, I know that because I was on the board. But this is printed every week to transform our lives first and then go out and do it again. So, what I'm saying, in short, is that this is what I feel, and this is only my feeling. I'm not representing the board. I'm not representing the leadership team. But I want to say this. Do we understand that when we come through these doors every Sunday, it costs us at least $2,100 a week to be here? How many of you didn't know that? That's all? Back there, you didn't know that? Are you on a committee that you would know that?
I didn't.
Okay, you didn't know it. $2,100. And then you hear the lesson that everyone's giving, and you really get pumped up, you know? Really, and I hope you're getting pumped up by this, or you're getting scared, and I don't want you to be scared, but I want you to be pumped up, because I want our consciousness to really change, because if we don't change our individual consciousness, unity's consciousness can't be changed, and we can't go forward. So someone here who's sitting here has a lack consciousness. We have enough to give. We do. We have everything we need inside of us. But be grateful for what you have, as little as it may seem to be. Be grateful and it will multiply. That is what Jesus was telling us. For he who has and realizes that we have the gifts in us. We have more than enough. More will be given. But if we have that lack consciousness, we cannot gain anything because we're hearing and not listening. Spiritual centers and churches all around the United States are declining, okay? And they're withering, and unity is not, is one of them. But I want us to ask, are we willing to listen today? Are we hearing this? Listening to God is one of the most important challenges. And we need to do that here in the Unity of New York as a group, because we are a community. And I hope that each one of us is taking ownership of this community. Please, take an ownership of it. Because we don't have a culture of ownership, then we're just a community of takers. So that's really what my come to Jesus part is here. I'm listening to the word, and I'm applying it. And I invite you to do the same, to apply what we hear up here, and just don't hear it and say, good message, and then don't apply it to our own life. Okay. Britt.
Lewis. It's very fitting that we're talking so much about Jesus today, because it doesn't get enough airtime in Unity. And the principles of Unity really started with the teachings of Jesus, not Christianity. Those are two different things. And Kathy already referred to Lent. We are in the season of Lent. We're 2 weeks from Easter today. Next week begins Holy Week. And Lent, metaphysically, is a time for rising in consciousness to a higher ground. As we ascend to the mountaintop, a spiritual perspective, we see the patterns in our lives, what we want to continue, what we want to release, and we call upon the Christ within. The Christ within. Christ was not Jesus' last name. We call on the Christ within to make positive changes and help us know our oneness with God every day. every day to live these truths. Every day we choose whether to live in a friendly world or an unfriendly world, especially right now, especially right now. The season of Lent invites me to notice where I'm placing my trust. Is it in the material world or is it in divine principle? Am I being fooled by outer appearances or am I maintaining an awareness of spirit at work? Am I giving into old habits and fear or am I stretching into a higher awareness of God? Lent is a time to release what we've been leaning on or clinging to that no longer serves us. And first, we have to admit that before we can let it go. It means letting go of unreliable supports and instead turning to God within to guide us into our best life. So where are you being led? I invite you to take that in. Where are you being led? Lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord.
Everybody take a breath. And together let's know that true prayer calls. It calls forth that God power within you. You can turn the full force of this power, sort of like a searchlight, on whatever may concern you. How do you see yourself? Can you envision yourself composed of spiritual substance as having light and life in every cell of your being, every atom, as a spiritual being knowing your oneness? Can you envision yourself filled through and through with changeless, eternal life?
Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me,
The real substance of our bodies is spiritual. The real nature of our being is spiritual. Scripture says it is the spirit that gives life. And each of us has been given divine life to be all we have been created and called to be. Becoming still simply means not allowing fear to control us. We can feel that fear and in faith move forward in spite of it. This allows us to open the way we see, hear, feel, and think more clearly. Right now, right where you are, begin with the knowing that you are perfectly created in the image and likeness of our Creator, made out of divine substance and filled with divine intelligence. You are an integral part of the universal puzzle. Know that just as our way shower and master teacher demonstrated, that we are one with the healing, renewing, universal force that is at work within you now. Let's take that into the silence. That we are one with the healing, renewing universal force that is at work within each of us right now. Take a breath. And remember that within each of us is an unending source of faith, courage, wisdom, and strength. This inexhaustible source provides the ways and means for us to follow the still, small voice within. We can be all we have been created to be. From a deep space of gratitude, say thank you.